All right, let's talk about depression in the Bible. What's the Bible have to say about depression? I thought the Bible was supposed to be kind of an uplifting thing, but no, let's talk about the depression. All right, let's just get right after it. You may have heard of a preacher called the Prince of Preachers. He lived from 1834 to 1892. His name was Charles Spurgeon. He was an Englishman. He was called the Prince of Preachers, and here's a quote from him. He said, "There are dungeons beneath the castles of despair." That's low. Dungeons beneath the castles of despair. He's a man who dealt with and had to deal with depression in his preaching ministry. He's a man for which thousands of people would come without a microphone. He would speak with great boldness the gospel of Jesus Christ, and lives were transformed. Revival took place in and around London. But deep down inside of him, he dealt with depression, maybe for some of the very issues that we discussed in some of the other videos. Nonetheless, because you're a person of faith, does not mean you're immune from depression. Again, we've put such a stigma on it, the stigma of weakness, that it's not appropriate. You can be a person of faith and deal with depression. So let's talk about a particular psalm or song, Psalm 42. It's in the Bible there. Maybe you should pull it out and read it. Maybe you don't even have a Bible. Look it up on the internet. Look at this psalm and see if you don't identify with it. It starts like this. "As a deer pants for the streams of water." Some translations say water brooks. "As the deer pants for the water brooks." I was in Israel one time in a place called En Gedi, down in the southern desert of Judea, south of Jerusalem, near the Dead Sea. And I asked our tour guide, I said, "What does En Gedi mean?" He said, "Well, En Gedi means a place of the deer." And immediately I got it. There were these skinny, doe-like deer that looked hungry, thirsty, sort of emaciated, that were meandering through the rocks and crags of the desert in Judea, and they were looking for water to spring out of some rocks. And I immediately got the picture. The psalmist was writing a song about the deer down in En Gedi who were longing for some water, as a deer pants for the streams of water. He says, as that happened, it's like my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions, my well-being, my soul pants for you, my God. Notice he says, my God, very personal. You know, if you got that thirst for something and you can't seem to quench that thirst, let's list all the things that aren't working. Success, status, sex, drugs, rock and roll, whatever you want to notice. Workaholics. Nothing really out there is going to satisfy what this psalmist is saying is going on inside of him. "I'm so stinking thirsty," he says, "for water. It's like my soul panting for my God," a very personal God. He says, "My soul thirsts for the living God." In other words, he wants this relationship with God that would so touch his soul he wouldn't be sad anymore, because this God is alive, not dead, not an idol, alive. He wants that so bad he's writing a song about it and singing it. And he goes, where can I go and meet with God? Maybe you're not a person of faith. Maybe you trash Christianity. I don't know. Whether it's your prerogative, but whatever. I used to do the same thing. But maybe you should ask yourself this question. Where can I go to meet with God? It's not a bad question. Well, actually, you can go anywhere you want. But when you go, ask him to meet with you. He'd be glad to sit down and talk with you. Invite yourself into the presence of God and tell him, I need help. I long for living water, I long for you. He says, where can I go and meet with God? Maybe this sounds like you. My tears, he said, are my food. My tears are food. Day and night, he says, I pour out my soul. Just exposing this wide open, gaping emptiness and void he's got in his life. And he's just okay with it. He's so over what everyone else thinks. He's so over what the society thinks. He's just saying, you know what? Let me open up my soul to you, and I don't care what you think. I don't really care what you think, but I'm hurting so stinking bad. I'm telling you right now, I long for God to meet with him, to be touched by him, to be spoken to by him, that if that doesn't happen, I don't have any other where to turn. Maybe you know that. Maybe you've turned to everything else and you looked at it and goes, man, it's got me here and my tears are my food. That's what the psalmist says. So the depression in the Bible, they go hand in hand. God wants to deliver you. He wants to make himself known in your stinking void, your dark cavern of your soul where it's wet, moist, and damp, and cold. And you need some warmth and some love and some life. Depression stinks. The psalmist knows that. That's what he's singing about. Maybe you too could be doing that. Psalm 42. Go look at that. Pull it up on your iPhone or your phone. Pull that up. Look at that. Psalm 42. And make it your prayer. And watch. Watch and expect by faith that he start to show himself up in your life. And I know you'll enjoy it. You won't be depressed. I can guarantee you that. Depression and the Bible.